Well, Happy New Year, everyone. How was your New Year's Eve? You guys had a good New Year's Eve? Was it quiet? Huh? Quiet in your neighborhood? No, it was loud. Huh? All you illegal guys. Hey, I'm so glad. You know, I'm so glad they banned fireworks. Yeah, I love the traditional fireworks, but I'm so glad because Jared finally got the nerve to light his very first firework. And after that, it was all downhill. He started lighting everybody else's one. It didn't matter. It didn't matter whether he bought his own. He just would light everybody else's one. And I'm watching him light these fireworks, and I'm thinking, this boy is going to be expensive for me in the future. I'm so glad they banned fireworks. You know, we have a lot of things going on at New Year's, especially setting resolutions. What are New Year's resolutions all about? They're actually things you should have done like 10 years ago, right? We set them every single year. New Year's resolution. These things I should have, would have, could have done, but I didn't, so I'm going to set it again. We do it actually as a way of bringing us back to the basics, things that we should be doing. Did you do your New Year's resolutions? I got my top 10. You guys ready for a top 10? My top 10 New Year's resolutions, starting with number 10. Time to buy a new hibachi for 2011. Notice I'm going to get, yeah, finally take that shopping cart back to Safeway and get a new hibachi. All right, number nine. Time to buy a new tire for Joy's car. Yeah. She doesn't need a new car, just a new tire. Thank you very much. Number eight. Call the plumber. Time for some home improvements there. Getting a little squeezy there. Number seven. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Can you see that? It's a 7-Up bottle there that I have. Yeah. That's how we water our backyard. Number six, find creative ways to multitask. I can exercise and go shopping at the same time. Number five, check whether the warranty is still good. That's my Sears battery and see if I can take it back to Sears. Number four, reduce, recycle, and reuse. Can you make out what that is? Women are going, what in the world is he wearing there? Yeah, I'll get some new bibbidis later on. Number three, find less stressful ways to spend my free time. Number two, you want to come over to my house for some weenie roast? Upgrade my kitchen utensils. And the number one New Year's resolution is never swim with Pastor Wayne. See how he's hooked up his radio there? Yeah, only Portuguese pastors can do that. He's not the guy in the back, by the way. He's the one holding that bottle there. I don't know what he's drinking, but New Year's resolutions. They are a way of bringing us back to the basics. And I thought, let's start off this new year as New Hope, coming back to the basics. Who are we? Who are we and why do we exist? Because if we don't know who we are, we will oftentimes get distracted by different things. We'll stray away from who God made us to be, who God has called us to be as a church, as individuals that God has called together as a church called New Hope. We're going to come back to basics. That's why in your bulletin I have a beautiful brochure there that our graphics team put together. It's a new series we're starting called One God, One Church. And in this brochure, if you want to take it out, it has all this, the messages that we'll be covering in this next series, all about coming back to the basics of who we are. We'll be talking about salvation today. Next week, we'll then jump into a spiritual growth message about why it's good for us to grow. We got to start growing, folks. It's not a matter of just staying where we are, and God loves us where we are, but He wants us to continue the growth process. We'll be talking about investment strategies, not about money. It's not about giving God money. God doesn't need any money. He doesn't need stuff. God is looking for something else in your hearts. God has a preferred future for you and for this church. And investment strategies is investing in that preferred future, whatever that is that God has for us. And we got to understand the spiritual principles behind it. We'll be talking about life's greatest resource. That's the spiritual gift now that He's given you. We all have it. But you got to discover what it is, develop it, and then deploy it. You got to use it for some reason. Otherwise, God puts that in you, and you know what he's saying up in heaven if you're not using it? Waste money. Waste money. I give you all that, and we're not using it. How do we use it? How do we discover that? We're talking about that. And then, responding to the Great Commission. God doesn't want us to come here on the weekends, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya. I mean, it's nice. It's good. It's fuzzy and everything. But God wants us to take it outside the walls. You know, the state of Hawaii has grown in population from 1.2 million to 1.4 million. There's 1.4 million people out there, folks, waiting for the gospel. And who's going to take it out there? It's got to be us. So we'll be talking about these messages that bring us back to the basics of New Hope. You'll see on the right-hand side of that brochure, our midweek service schedule. It's called Confident Living. We'll be covering that every Wednesday for this month, starting at 7 o'clock. We'll begin this coming Wednesday with having confidence in your leaders. You know who your leaders are of this church? You know who the management team that's running all of this stuff? I'm going to have them on stage this coming Wednesday. And you're going to discover how they've discovered confidence in their own lives and in the ministry, because you can't have confidence in this church unless you have confidence in your leaders. So we'll be talking about that this coming Wednesday, and the following Wednesdays we'll have messages on confident living. But who are we? We're going to be talking about that, starting off with who we are as a church. See, because if we don't know who we are, we'll get sidetracked by people in the world looking at us from the outside, looking in, and saying, ah, you're a bunch of just programmers. You guys just do a good show. Man, New Hope is a great show on the weekend. You have a great music and stuff, but it's just a show. People on the outside looking in will see that. If you don't know who we are, if you don't know why we do what we do, it can become a show. I want you to see a little clip. Now, some people may take it, oh, that's kind of too edgy for me. It's taking a big risk. I'm going to take a risk. This year, I think the Lord is asking me to take some risk here. I want you to see this video. Look at it through the eyes of someone on the outside looking in to see what's happening on our weekends. It's a little spoof on weekend services, but this is where you don't understand the whys behind it. Take a look at this, and we'll talk more about it, all right? Take a look at this video.
You can't stop it. It's coming to a town near you. It used to be called contemporary. Some call it relevant. We're so cool, we call it contemporvent.
Young hip guy welcoming all with graphic tee and cool glasses. I welcome everybody with arms wide open, revealing my tattoo so you know I have a past. Quirky transition to band. Invite everyone to stand. Let's do it.
This is the song that everyone knows. It's the song that everyone knows. I just want to invite the ushers up as we prepare for our offering. Feel free to give if you feel led. It's between you and God, but we're tracking it.
One man has all the answers.
I have all the answers.
Showing a picture of a puppy
and or a baby from an impoverished third world nation.
Speaking softly to draw you in.
And then emphatically, driving home my point.
On pause. Whispering. Repetition.
Still pausing.
pained expression. Long prayer so that the worship leader can get back on stage.
This is the closing song with strings that'll make you cry.
Coming soon to your town, a new kind of church. You will be lifted high and challenged to grow. We call that Grotivation. You call this Sunday morning.
You see how that can be a spoof on churches? How they can make fun of churches because they don't quite understand. And you'll have many friends that will say that to you. Oh, you go to that church, that's all they do. There's a reason why we do what we do. And I thought it'd be good if we all get on the same page, starting off a brand new year. Because I believe that God is poised to do something great in this church. But we got to come back to basics. We got to know what those basic foundational spiritual rocks are that we need to lay down so God can begin to build his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. It starts off with our mission statement. We need to know what our mission is all about. Why New Hope exists. It's in your bulletin there. Would you take it out? Let's read that together. Our mission statement. Why New Hope exists. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. To present the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that turns non-Christians into converts, converts into disciples, and disciples into mature, fruitful leaders who will in turn go into the world and reach others for Christ. We can take a whole message and unpack this mission statement. But let me just explain a few things for you. We're here, folks. New Hope exists to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is very important for you to know. We're not here as a social agency. We're, you know, Heart Association is great, great cause. AIDS Foundation is a great cause. They're all great causes. And we get requests by people all the time to promote a certain kind of a cause. They're all great causes. But our mission is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we get connected with them. We get involved with these other organizations. That's fine. We will. We'll get involved with many organizations. But it has to be with the goal of presenting the gospel. Presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way. What that means is how we deliver it, how we communicate it to you, how it's presented, it has to be in such a way that's going to turn someone who's a non-believer into a convert. If you're a convert, into a disciple. If you're a disciple, into a mature, fruitful leader. To do what? To come and sing songs? No, to go into the world and make a difference. New Hope exists, folks, to transform lives. That's why we do what we do. That's why you see the light. That's why you see multimedia. That's why you hear jokes. Because when you're laughing, you know what Pastor Wayne does, what we do? When you're laughing and your mouth is wide open, we drop a seed of truth in your mouth. Did you know that? Yeah. And then you stew on it, you swallow it. We're here to make a difference in your life. How? By presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that'll transform lives. I hear people all the time tell me, I've been coming to church for like 20 years and I've never heard the gospel presented that way. I love it when little kids come and say, man, I understand what you're saying. They track. This lady, the last time I spoke, talked about change. There has to be a change in your life. This lady came up to me, her son said to her, Mommy, we got to change this year. He caught the message. Because we try to present the gospel in such a way. That's what New Hope is all about. And you're called to do the same thing. If you're calling New Hope your home church, you're called to present the gospel to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family, co-workers. Present it in such a way, through your actions, through your words, that'll transform lives. That's what New Hope is all about. What holds this church together is something called core values. Would you take that out? It's in your notes there. Core values is a very fabric that holds this church together. It's values that will not be compromised, values that will not be renegotiated. We will not change these values. These values have been with us from day one. and they'll continue to be with us. They're all biblically based, and what they show is what we believe in. If New Hope is going to be called your home church, this is what we believe in. Number one, would you read that with me? Ready? Go. We believe that every person... yeah, Christian and non-Christian. We believe that every person is valuable to God. It doesn't matter what lifestyle you're living in. It doesn't matter what past you may have come out of. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. Every single person is valuable to God. Why do we believe in that? Because God believes in that. Because God's love is available for every single person. You'll hear issues that we talk about. Civil unions will come up again in the legislature. We'll talk about issues like that, but we'll love people just the same. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle they may be living right now. Doesn't matter what their family may represent. We love people just the same. Do you agree with that? Would you say amen to that? That's what God believes in, that every single person is valuable. Number two, would you read that with me? Ready? Go. We believe that doing church as a team is God's design for effective ministry. Do you know that for a church of about, Farrington alone is about 8,000 attendees every weekend. We put all the New Hopes together, our satellite sites, we come up to about 10 to 12,000 every single weekend. You know how much we have as a staff that oversees this 10 to 12,000? 45 to 50 staff members, full-time and part-time. That's not very much. Why do we run so lean? It's because we believe in doing church as a team. We hire staff persons not so that they can do the ministry. We hire them to facilitate teams that will help to do the work of the ministry. That is a core value. Whenever we talk about, well, why don't you hire for this and that? We have discussions like that. First question we ask of that request, can that person build a team? Why do we need that one person to hire? Can we build a team to get it done? That's a core value we've set a long time ago, and we'll continue to believe in that. Number three, let's read that. Ready? Go. We believe that a simple presentation of Jesus Christ in creative ways will impact and transform lives. A simple presentation of the gospel in creative ways. Why do we present it in creative ways? Well, because God is a creator. You just read through Genesis in your devotions, where God did what to the heavens and the earth? God created. He didn't sit there and think and wonder and sketch something out. God created. He's a creator. Have you ever seen His creation? This morning had the most beautiful sunrise ever. Just layers and layers of different kinds of clouds, different shadows and different colors. It's the most beautiful creation of a sunrise. That's our God who did that. And if our God can do that with a sunrise, can't we do the same? Shouldn't we do the same with the presentation of His Word? That's why you see lights. That's why you see cameras. That's why you see multimedia involved. We want to present the gospel in creative ways. Number four, read that. Ready? Go. We believe every member should commit to a lifestyle of consistent spiritual growth with honest accountability. We're going to be talking about spiritual growth in a few weeks. How do we grow? Why should we grow? We need to be growing. Only thing that doesn't grow in life is what? A dead body. And I don't think God wants dead Christians. God wants us to continue the growth process. And we'll talk about how that's going to be, how we can do that. Number five, read that. Ready? Go. We believe that every member is a minister who has been given gifts to be discovered, developed, and deployed. We are a gift-based, volunteer-driven church. Again, we do things as a team with volunteers. Every weekend, it takes about 1,000 volunteers to run this operation. Many of us see them here, the ushers, greeters, musicians, sound guys. We have people in the tech booth. You know who we don't see a lot of times? Are the volunteers that take care of our kids. They're in the next building over. We got like 700 kids every weekend. And we have some committed, dedicated volunteers who watch over your children. I think our volunteers deserve a hand, don't you? Would you give them a hand? But we are a gift-based, volunteer-driven church, and we'll be talking about that. How do we get involved? Why should we get involved? What are the benefits of getting involved? It's part of who we are. Number six, read that. Ready? Go. We believe that God is worthy of our very best. Therefore, a growing spirit of excellence should permeate every activity. It's not about perfection now. You see things done being done very well here on stage. Why? It's because these guys practice, practice, practice. They're volunteers. And they give up their time. This last number, I'll Be There, and that medley that was sung here with all the singers, they rehearsed this on the night before New Year's Eve. They stayed up to 12:30 a.m. to rehearse that number again and again and again. Why? Not for perfection's sake. They believe that God is worthy of their very best. You ask any single one of them, they would tell you that exact answer. I'm doing it because I want to do this for the Lord. And that's why we do things around here. That's how we do things around here. It's not about perfection. It's giving God the best that we have. Number seven, we believe that genuine love and caring relationships are key to the life of every endeavor. Relationships run everything around here. You may see things running well. You may see things like ushers and ministries running side by side. You know what is the oil that keeps it running smoothly? Relationships. And relationships have to be worked on intentionally. It doesn't just happen. That's why we say to you, hold hands with someone when we pray. We want you to start building relationships with others. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have ministry groups. That's why we have so many other ways of you connecting up with one another so that relationships can develop. That's why you see Pastor Wayne and I taking jabs at one another. Excuse me. When we joke with each other, when we throw these jabs at each other, we do it intentionally. Did you know that? I think sometimes he does a little more to me than I do to him. But we do it because we want you to see that we're good in relationships. And you see the things we do to each other off stage. Now that's a problem. But you know, we have good relationships. Do we see eye to eye all the time? No. I'd be lying to you if I said we do. What helps us to get through those times that we don't see eye to eye is our relationship. It's the key to the life of everything we do here at New Hope. Number eight, let's read that. Ready? Go. We believe that the most effective evangelism happens through people inviting people. You know how this church is going to grow? It's not because of what happens here. It's because of you touching on lives that you have an opportunity to. You will reach people. You will talk to people. You will interact with people that we never will be able to. You have a circle of friends, a circle of acquaintances that you know of that we don't. Evangelism happens with you inviting someone to hear. Then we begin the process of presenting the gospel in a simple but creative way that will transform lives. See, we partner together that way. But evangelism happens through you. Number nine, last one. Let's read that. Ready? Go. We believe in identifying and training emerging leaders who are fully committed to Christ and who will reach their generation with the gospel. It's a sustainability factor, folks. It's not about a church based upon one man or two men or three men. It's a church based on emerging leaders, a sustaining factor of creating new opportunities for young leaders to step forward. That's why Pastor Wayne is in Oregon developing this Bible college to develop young leaders. That's why we have a Pacific Rim Christian College to develop young leaders. That's why we have our worship team this morning. Did you see how many young ones are up there? Including Dane Eisen. He's a young man. He's an emerging leader. But we're all emerging leaders, and we believe in that so much, so we give them opportunities. Will they make mistakes? Tons of mistakes. But we're okay with that because we believe in training up emerging leaders. That's who we are. That's New Hope. And if you were to take any one of our leaders, any one of our staff members, and you cut them open, they will bleed the mission statement. They will bleed the core values. That is our DNA. And I thought, why not share that with the rest of our church? Because if we're going to call New Hope our home church, then we need to buy into this. We may not be there yet. You may look at some of these core values and say, well, I'm not there yet. That's okay. That's okay. As long as we say, we'll buy into that. We believe in the same things. See, then we become owners of this church. Big difference between someone who rents and someone who owns. Isn't that right? When you rent, when you're renting a place versus owning a place, you become one who is more of a problem spotter. Hey, landlord, how come you never fixed my toilet? The thing's been leaking for the last month. No. I told you about it. You should come and fix it. See, we spot problems. An owner, what's the difference? An owner is a problem solver. Oh, my toilet's broken. I think I better fix it. Because if I don't, I got to live in this place. It's my house. I got to find a way of fixing it. See, we're not problem spotters. We're problem solvers. A renter is someone who has more of an expectation to receive, an entitlement. I paid my rent. How come I'm not getting my parking space? Hey, I'm paying my rent. How come the neighbors cannot be quiet? Hey, landlord, can you take care of that for me? See, we have an expectation because of what we're giving. An owner, we give regardless. Again, I'm talking about money now. Don't confuse me on this one. I give everything I have in me to my house because I own this thing. It's mine. It's no one else's responsibility. It's mine. Big difference between renters and owners. A renter is someone who lives in the here and now. I only will do what I'm required to do by the legal contract. The lease agreement requires me A, B, C, D. That's all I'll do. An owner will give unconditionally. He'll not live in the here and now. He will invest in the future. He will build up the equity in this property. He will see everything of what this is worth, the potential of it, the future of it. And that owner will invest everything he has to that future. Big difference between a renter and an owner. And I'm hoping that we kind of catch on to this so we become more owners, taking ownership in this church. Well, it has to start somewhere. Where does it all start? It starts with some spiritual foundational blocks we're going to lay out in this series. The first one is this. Today we're going to talk about salvation. It's going to be a real quick, kind of a simple message of what salvation is all about. But we got to start there. Salvation is understanding who we are and who God is and how we mix the two. Who are we? Number one, would you write this in there in your notes? We are actually spiritually bankrupt people. We are. Spiritually bankrupt means it means whatever is going on inside, it really doesn't match what's on the outside. See, we can look, stand in front of the mirror and make ourselves look handsome. You know, women, you can put like oil age on your face and smooth out the creams and put all the makeup on. And we can look really pretty looking in the mirror, but on the inside, we're spiritually bankrupt. That's who we are. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. Look at what it says in Isaiah. It starts back in the Old Testament when Isaiah was talking about us. Read Isaiah 64 with me. Ready? Go. We are constant sinners. How can people like us be saved? We're all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. We're constant sinners. We're I hate to say this on the first weekend of the new year, but it's not pretty on the inside. We're not born with a good nature. Babies look cute, but that's all it is. They look cute. On the inside, we're all born with a sinful nature. We are. I know that from my little boy, Jared. He's 8 years old. He wanted a dollar. Every time we go to the market, he wants a dollar because he wants to play that, you know, that claw thing where he grabs the gift out of the thing. He never wins. Every time he asks for money, I give him a dollar. I don't know why. We're wasting money on this young kid. But he went with me to the store the other day, and it's Christmas time, and there's a Salvation Army, that red kettle, and the volunteer ringing the bell like this. I said, Jared, give the dollar to the red kettle. He goes, no, I don't want to. I said, would you just put the dollar in the kettle? He goes, no, I don't want to. I said, you little cheap pocket boy, you put the money in the thing. And he says, no, I don't want to. And Joy looks at me and she says, what are you teaching your son? Not to give to... I said, no, I'm trying to teach him to give. Now, where do you think he learned that from? Not to give the money. And don't look at me, okay? It's not me. I didn't tell him that. That's just in him. You know, you can take the boy out of China, but you cannot take China out of the boy. It's just him. And I think sometimes, in certain ways, we're like that with sin. Sin is in us. It has always been in us. It'll always be in us so long as we have this fleshly side of us. That's who we are. You know, we are, not only in the Old Testament do we have those reminders, but in the New Testament as well, Paul writes in Romans about who we are. And he talks about sin. Now, you got to understand the context of this, all right? Paul writes about sinning in this book of Romans, understanding that the Roman government, whenever someone committed a crime that deserved death, they would either be thrown into an arena with wild animals, they would be crucified, or they'd be tied to this decomposing cadaver, a dead body, a body that's been dead because of leprosy or some kind of disease. They would tie this criminal's body to this cadaver. And this man, this criminal, would have to now do the work in the fields. He would have to sleep with this cadaver. And that disease would start overtaking his body, and he would die a slow, agonizing death. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what he's referring to when he says the wages of sin is death. What Paul meant is that, you know, sometimes we can sin, and it's, you know, fun to sin in the beginning. It's fun to, like, you know, take that little hit. It's fun to get involved with maybe an extramarital affair or something. It's fun in the beginning, but it'll catch up with you. And you'll begin to die a slow and agonizing death. That's what Paul is referring to when he writes in Romans about the sin that we're committing. So Isaiah tells us we're all sinners. Paul says in Romans, take a look at his scripture. Romans 1, starting at verse 29. He says, their lives became full of greed, hate, envy, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior and gossip. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about us. That's who we are. We're greedy sometimes. We hate sometimes. How many of you have disobeyed your parents at one time or another? Come on, raise your hand. You're in church, man. First day of the year. We all have disobeyed our parents at one point in life. This is who we are. So what Paul is saying is this. If this is man, okay? This is us, all right? This is us. He says we're greedy. He says we are hateful. He says we are envious or jealous. We grumble, or let me just put monku. We monku, monku, monku. We grumble all the time. We gossip. Gossip is another way of saying, hey, tell me about your problem. Let me pray for you. Hey, by the way, you know, so-and-so needs help and we start gossiping. We kind of couch it in prayer, but sometimes we can be the best gossipers as Christians. We gossip. We're proud. We're proud. We're boastful. We brag a lot. And we can fill up this page on and on and on. We think of new ways of sinning. You know what he's talking about there? We just relabel our sins. We live a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God. It goes against what the Bible is saying. And what do we call it today? Alternative style of living. Or maybe you get involved in a relationship and you get pregnant before marriage. You know, what do we call that? It really is a sin. But what do we call that? Oh, made a mistake. Sorry. You know, we come up with other labels. But what really is, it's sin. And Paul says, that's who we are. We break our promises. We're heartless. And we can fill up this page of who we are. Not good news, yeah? First weekend of 2011. But there is good news. Thank goodness there's God. And if that's who we are, who is God? God is, you can fill in your notes there, God is holy. What does it mean for God to be holy? God is also not just holy, He's loving. He's gracious. He's forgiving. He's merciful. You can go on and on and on. as to who God is. God is everything, folks. When you look at these two charts, God is everything that we are not. Everything that you can say about God cannot be said about us. Everything that can be said about us cannot be said about God. It just doesn't mix. Book of Galatians says, the spirit and the flesh will never mix with one another. But the good news is that there's God, and the fact that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And so when Jesus Christ came into the world, although there's a void between us and God, Jesus Christ came in the form of man, and He then, on the cross, died for us and created, you can fill your notes in there, He created the bridge between man and God. As we were, as man and woman, sinful as we are in our nature, we could never cross over to where God is. But it was only because of the loving God that we have, a gracious God, that He allowed Jesus to come and to die as a man, but also fully God, and created this bridge that we now have an opportunity to cross over. In other words, you have a brand new life. The Bible says, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Everything that you were before no longer exists when you walk over to the Lord's side. All the pain that you experienced, all the past that you had, all the frustrations and struggles will no longer exist if you walk over this bridge because of salvation in Jesus Christ to where God is at. That's the salvation message. Very simple. Here's a question for you. What are you going to do with that salvation? Now all things have become new. What are you going to do with that? It's not something for you just to learn and listen to and sing about. There has to be something that changes in your life. Otherwise, the Lord would say to us, if we never cross over to the new, the Lord would say, waste money. I sent my Son down to die for your sins. You have an opportunity to walk over to the newness of life, and you don't want to do it. Waste money. And a little thing about Jared coming over from China. He was abandoned. He was never registered with the government. See, in China, you need to be registered to have any kind of identity. Because he was not registered, when we saw him and we wanted to adopt him, we couldn't because his name didn't appear anywhere in the government's records. And my wife didn't know about this. She said, well, what would have happened then? I said, he would have grown up if nobody came into his life, nobody adopted him. He would have grown up, become of age. He would have been kicked out of the foster facility. Now to live without an identity, which meant he cannot work, can't get a driver's license, can't get a passport. He does not exist in the eyes of China. It was only because we came in and we said we want to adopt this kid that they began the process of registering him. Now he has an identity, and Jared is sitting there, and I'm telling Joy all of this stuff. So I looked at him and I said, in other words, Jared, if we didn't come and adopt you into our family, you would have grown up and become homeless. You would have been on the streets. You would have nothing. You would have nothing at all. So you better listen to me, boy. Otherwise, I'll send you back to China. I didn't say that. I said, Jared, now that you're in this life, now you can play baseball. Now you can play football. Now you can pop firecrackers. Now you can do all of this stuff. Man, this is a brand new life for you. And the Lord is saying the same thing to us. He said, I've adopted you as sons and daughters into my family. You had nothing before all this. You had this lifestyle before all of this. But since I sent my Son Jesus into the world to die for your sins and created a bridge for you to cross over, you have a newness of life. All the pain you experienced, all the frustrations you've gone through, is gone. The old things are passed away. All things have become new. What are you going to do with that? So your life needs to change. If salvation is going to be all that it's worth, there has to be some kind of change in your life. I want to introduce you to a young woman. She's growing up real fast. And since she's come and been a part of New Hope, where she found salvation in the Lord, she was going through some real difficult times. But because of salvation, her life has totally changed. And she's looking forward to a brand new future. I want you to hear the testimony of Tiana Komeji.
Welcome to 2010 Longwood High School commencement ceremony.
Tiana is a special young lady that God has given great talent to and also given a great heart. When you combine those two together, it makes for quite a precious young lady. You could see that potentially in her even when she was young. She would dance or she would be around people. You could see that precious beginning in that girl. And that has only blossomed over the years.
It was about 1997, and my mom got invited to church by one of her friends, so we decided to go, and the halal danced a hula in church, and I remember knowing that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to use my gifts of dance like they were. After I took a few classes at Hearts in Motion, and they asked me to be on halal, that's when I first met Pastor Wayne and Uncle Dane Eisen and a few of the halal girls. I made so many relationships with many of the aunties and uncles.
I think one of the first memories I have was when her family broke up. Her dad went one way and she was quite melancholy, and it was after service one day and she was sitting there crying, and I said, what's the matter? And then the mother, Lori, said, well, our family's moving in a different direction. And she said, so I don't have a daddy. And so I remember saying then I'll be your daddy until he comes back. Let's pray for him every day. Let's ask God to change his heart. But until then, we're going to be your family.
For the past 11 years, it's been like what any father-daughter relationship was like. He was really supportive and loved me like his own daughter. Being the little girl of Halal and being around all these older adults and that were like family, they were family. If ever I needed a scolding or a talking to, they would be the ones to give it to me if my mom wasn't there. If I was having a pretty junk day, they would be there to help cheer me up. Or on a weekend that I wanted to have a sleepover, I would go to Pastor Owen's house with Auntie Joy and Jared, and we would make a tent in their living room and just tell stories and laugh until we couldn't laugh anymore. And I was just really loved and embraced by everybody there. All their love replace the hurt in my life.
I'm so glad I stepped in, as many others have, because we have witnessed the beautiful blossoming of a wonderful young lady that God is so pleased about.
Thank you. Tiana, that was such a beautiful song. You choreographed that dance, right?
Yes.
Why was that song so special for you?
Oh, well, it's one of my favorite songs, but Keolala is the point right before the sunrise, and it's like the beginning of a new day, like a new dawning, and so that's where I am right now in my life. Like, it's a new chapter in my life, and it's a new beginning, so it explains where I am in my life perfectly right now.
And that new beginning will take place in a few days. What's going to be happening?
I'm going to be attending Azusa Pacific University. I leave on Wednesday.
So she's leaving. And beautiful young woman. Would you say thank you again to Tiana? But you see, she comes to Christ, and although there's some turmoil going on in her life, something happens and something changes. You know, she had a chance when she was younger to be a part of the Keiki Hula competition, but because the dance hala was dancing to a song that honored Pele, she said, no, my life belongs to Christ, and I can't be a part of that. I'm going to just stay with Christ. And so she gave all that up because her life changed. You see, salvation meant so much to her. What about you? Number four, would you write that last point in there? Your RSVP is requested. The Lord is waiting for you to respond. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoso would believe in Him. See, it gives us a responsibility. The Lord gave. He gave His Son. He allowed that bridge to take place. Now it's our responsibility to respond. How is your life going to be different this next year? What will you be doing differently because of salvation that's come into your life? I pray that as a church, we understand salvation and we begin to move forward as to what God has for us. All that we'll be talking about, all that will be planned out, God is poised to do a very good blessing here in this church, but we got to respond. Can we be a church that says amen? We will respond. Amen to that? Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord God, thank you again for a wonderful 2010, and we still rejoice in that, for bringing us through a pretty tough and challenging year. But Lord, we know that there is so much ahead. And because of salvation in our lives, because of the freedom that we now have, we will walk into that future and the hope that you've given to us. So we pray, dear Lord, as we set this spiritual foundational stone of salvation and the many others that we'll be talking about, that, Lord, you will begin to build your kingdom here on earth as you're doing in heaven. May it begin with us as a church called New Hope. We love you, Lord. We praise you for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you seal that to your hearts with a clap?